I read to you from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. Verse 2, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. You know, it had been a very busy week. God had just completed the creation of this world, and he was pleased with the new world that he had created. And God steps back and he looks at his creation and he says, good, very good. Everything was perfect. And then God stopped his work and rested. God did not rest because he was tired. Creating the world had not been strenuous work for him. God had merely spoken the word, and the world had come to be. God rested because he was finished. God rested to enjoy his creation. Have you ever done something that you were very pleased and how it turned out? Maybe a woodworking project or a landscaping project. And you wanted to enjoy the feeling that came from a job well done. And then you wanted to share that feeling with someone else. And why should we think that God would not also find great satisfaction in a job well done? You see, the Sabbath was made for man. That first Sabbath was a very special day. God had finished his creation of the world. This was the first day for human beings on earth. This was a day to remember how the world came to be. This was a day to remember that man had been created by God's own hand from the dust of the ground. This was a day to remember the Creator. So God set this seventh day aside for humans apart from all the other days in the week. And when the Creator took on human form and he came to live here on earth, he told us his purpose in setting apart the seventh day as a Sabbath of rest. Let us turn to the New Testament in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Verse 28. Mark chapter 2, verse 28. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Sometimes we think the Sabbath was made to give man a rest after a busy week of working 6 days. But think about it. Did Adam need a day off just one day after he was created? All Adam had done during that first day on earth was to name the creatures that God had made. Then he had taken a nap while God created Eve from one of his ribs. Adam did not need a day of rest from working before he had even worked. You see, the crowning glory of creation was not a day of rest, but people, a man and a woman who had been created in the image of God. The Sabbath was made for man. In Mark 2, verse 27, he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." Many people mistakenly believe that the Sabbath was made for the Jewish people. But here we read, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the Creator's gift to them. The Sabbath would remind them every week that the Creator considered his work perfect and complete when he had created them. The Sabbath would also remind them that they could not make the world any better than God had already made it. Oh, sure, they might exercise dominion over all other creatures on the earth, and they might subdue the earth, but they could not create the earth or make it better than God had already made it during the 6 days of creation. I have a friend who is a horticultural scientist. He says, to date, they have not been able to create one flower, one seed, one plant from nothing. Every plant that grows, whether it's vegetable or flower or tree or shrub, every plant that grows must begin from a seed. And man has yet been able to create a seed from nothing. See, God intended the Sabbath to be more than just a day off after 6 days of work. The Sabbath was a day to enjoy God's creation. The Sabbath was a day to remember the Creator. The Sabbath is not only a day to remember the Creator. The Sabbath also reminds us of other things that will cause us to remember the power of God. After delivering his people from bondage in Egypt, God brought them to Mount Sinai, where he gave them the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, it begins, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt where you were slaves." This was the basis of the covenant, which would be summarized in the Ten Commandments. One of those commandments called upon the people of Israel to remember the Sabbath, the fourth commandment. In Exodus 20, the reason for remembering the Sabbath is that God rested on the seventh day after creating the earth. Now, in the second proclamation of the law in Deuteronomy 5:15, the reason for remembering the Sabbath is that I, the Lord your God, rescued you by my mighty hand. Now we see the Sabbath becomes a reminder of redemption as well as a reminder of creation. Then we come to the cross on Calvary. Jesus had been crucified and was dying. And just before he died, Jesus shouted, "It is finished." But notice, he did not say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." What was finished? The night before his crucifixion, Jesus had told his Father, "I have finished the work you gave me to do." What was that work? He had lived the life of perfect righteousness that he would credit to us when we believe in him. In just a few hours, he would die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And when Jesus finished his work of redeeming us at the cross, he rested on the Sabbath, just as he had rested when he finished his work of creating us and placed us in the Garden of Eden. Now the Sabbath, a memorial of creation, also becomes a memorial of two great redeeming acts of God. First, redeeming Israel from bondage in Egypt, and second, redeeming humanity from bondage in sin. And in Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20, we find two more reasons to remember the Sabbath. Ezekiel chapter 20. Verse 20. Excuse me. Ezekiel 20, verse 20. "Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God." So now the Sabbath was also to remind God's people that he is their God. The Sabbath now reminds his people that he is the one who will make them holy, just as he made the Sabbath holy. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us of a rest that comes from the faith in the promises of God. So now we have seven reasons to remember the Sabbath. First, the Sabbath reminds us that God created the world. Second, the Sabbath reminds us that God delivered Israel from bondage in Egypt. Third, the Sabbath reminds us that Christ delivered us from the penalty of sin at Calvary. Fourth, the Sabbath reminds us that God will make us holy, just as he made the Sabbath holy. Fifth, the Sabbath reminds us that God will finish his work in our lives, just as he finished his work of creation and redemption. Sixth, the Sabbath reminds us that God is our Lord and God. Seventh, the Sabbath reminds us that we have rest in Christ. You know, I think the writer of the book of Hebrews must have had these things in mind when he wrote Hebrews chapter 4. Let's turn to Hebrews, the New Testament, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. When we see the Sabbath in this light, the Sabbath will become more than just a day of physical rest from our daily work. We live in a world where few of us do very much physical work. What physical work we do, we usually do in such small doses that we have little need for a prolonged period of rest. Mowing the lawn, taking out the garbage, or occasional repairs around the house do not usually tax our physical strength too much. Most of us do not do enough physical work to need a day of physical rest. We don't need a Sabbath to provide time for physical rest. Most of us are so physically rested that we need regular workouts to keep any degree of physical fitness. Some of us take up walking for exercise or jogging. Some of us do calisthenics or aerobics or weightlifting. Our lack of strenuous physical work does not mean that we do not become tired. We can still become mentally tired. We can still become emotionally tired. We can still become spiritually drained. Emotional and mental fatigue takes a far heavier toll on us than the physical fatigue. Physical fatigue can usually be relieved by just a few hours of sleep. Mental and emotional fatigue may require us to take a vacation where we can find relief from the stress of our daily lives. But spiritual fatigue takes the heaviest toll of all. It may lead us to a loss of hope. One may even lose the will to live. The Sabbath can provide a time for rest from every kind of fatigue. On the Sabbath, we will remember that God created the world by the spoken word. We remember that God created the Sabbath by declaring it to be holy, set apart from all other days. The Sabbath reminds us how God redeemed Israel from Egypt by his mighty power, and how God redeemed us from sin at the cross. Remembering that God made the Sabbath holy reminds us that God is making us holy, just as he made the Sabbath holy. When Christ declared, "It is finished," at creation and at the cross, he was telling us that we cannot add anything to what God has done for us. So we are able to rest in God's finished work. But the Sabbath is more than a day when we rest and rebuild our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual resources. Let's turn to Genesis 3, verse 8. The Old Testament, the first book in the Old Testament, Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Here we are told how God came to the garden in the evening to fellowship with Adam and Eve. God had made people in his own image, so they would be capable of communicating with him. They would be capable of fellowship with him. They would be even capable of friendship with him. God wanted his people to be his friend. And God achieved that kind of relationship with Abraham. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat asked God, who had given the land to his friend Abraham, he said, to deliver his people from invading armies. And the Apostle James wrote that Abraham was called the friend of God. God achieved that kind of relationship, that friendship with Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses was afraid to look upon God. And by the time we read Exodus 33:11, we're told how the Lord would speak with Moses face to face, just as one speaks to a friend. And when Moses asked God to see his glory, God revealed himself to Moses as he would never reveal himself to any other man. And Moses then was no longer afraid of his friend, the Lord God. God achieved that kind of friendship, that close personal friendship with King David. God called David a man after my own heart. And David would go and sit before the Lord and talk to God, as we read in 2 Samuel chapter 7. You see, God wants that kind of friendship with us. That is why Jesus came to this earth as a man. Jesus said the greatest love a person can have for his friends is to give his life for them. And then he showed that love towards us. Let us read John chapter 10, the New Testament. John chapter 10. Verse 14 through 18. John chapter 10. Verses 14 through 18. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. This is what we mean by reconciliation. God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Christ's death on the cross showed us how much God loves us. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, New Testament. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. First John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When someone loves you so much, it becomes natural to think of them in friendly terms. We find a restful security in that kind of friendship. The Sabbath gives us time to develop and strengthen the relationship with God, our friend. The Sabbath is an appointed time set apart by God for this special purpose. God knew that unless he built this wall to separate the Sabbath from other days, the Sabbath would soon lose its uniqueness. You know, the rest that God intended for us to receive on the Sabbath is not just a physical rest from our work or a mental or an emotional rest from the stress of life. When Jesus said, I will give you rest, entering that rest requires that we stop trying to save ourselves and rest in the finished work of Jesus. Jesus has done everything that was necessary to save us when he paid the penalty for our sins. And when he gives us his righteousness, the Lord Jesus is now doing everything necessary to prepare us to live in a new world where righteousness reigns. Christ began working in our lives when we placed our trust in him as our Savior. And he will finish his work in our lives if we will allow him to transform us. The Sabbath reminds us that God always finishes whatever he begins. The Sabbath remains a relevant symbol of finished work. But we do not look for our spiritual rest in the Sabbath. We look for spiritual rest only in Jesus Christ. It is Christ who will give us rest. We will find rest only in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.